Welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Because in addition to all of their preparation for us each Sunday, they took the time out to put that together, and it was a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Now, we do know we serve a holy God, and thank the Lord for the reminder through song. Now, this morning, I'm going to need your help. I know I'm here to serve you, but I'm going to need your help. So right now, what I need is for each one of you to get a neighbor, and this is only going to take a few minutes. It's not going to be for the whole sermon. Praise the Lord. Now, what it is, you're going to... Two people together, and one person is going to speak first. Now, we don't have much time, so y'all got to get it together who's going to speak first, okay? You know, but you're going to ask your neighbor a question. So everybody have a neighbor, and we'd like you all to participate. Amen. So I want you to look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor this question this morning. Look right at him. Don't be afraid. You're going to be in heaven with him. Prayerfully. Look right at him and say, what if? Now, the other one, you look back at him and say, what if what? Praise the Lord. Thank you. That's right. That's what we needed, was some attitude. We Christians, but we do still have attitude, don't we? Praise the Lord. So the question is this morning, what if we took Christ out of Christmas? Will you bow in prayer with me? Oh God, we come and we bless you and we praise you and we confess that we need you. So God, we need you to minister this word to us. We need you to challenge us, to encourage us, to build us up on our most holy faith. We would desire an encounter with you through the power of your word. So only you can do that. So our expectation is of you. And we know that you are faithful because you placed the expectation there. So now, God, indeed, I do ask that you move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can indeed have your way. Rule and reign in this place. You have already prepared the soil of our hearts. So, Lord, we're expecting fruit to come forth from this word, fruit that will remain and fruit that will be just for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, our souls who say amen. Amen. What if we took Christ out of Christmas? Not so much unbelievers, but us Christians. What if we took Christ out of Christmas? What would it look like? Would there be a tree? The evergreen tree is a symbol of undying life. And also it's an image of the tree of life in Genesis 2:9. But what if there was no tree? Would there be lights on trees, in windows, on lawns, on porches, railings, or anywhere? Would there be lights? Would there be Christmas cards? In 1843, John Calcott Horsley printed the first one for his friend, Sir Henry Cole, who had given him the idea to send a Christmas greeting. Would there be toys or presents of any kind? When did all of that get to be associated with Christmas? Christmas is supposed to be celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ, who we Christians believe is the Son of God. Do we still believe this? The word Christmas comes from the mass of Christ, which is a mass, M-A-S-S, service, also known as communion or the Eucharist, where Christians remember that Jesus died for us and then resurrected, assuring resurrection for us. You know, as we say it, as often as you, as the scripture says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So it's a Christ Mass, shortened to Christmas, Christmas. So what if we, Christians, take Christ out of Christmas? What if there were no tree? Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So we need a tree to remember that Christ hung on the tree, on that cross for us. That star that we put on top of the tree represents the star of Bethlehem that guided the wise men to the stable where Jesus was born. It's not just there to look pretty, but to remind us that God will provide guidance for us no matter how dark the night. What if there were no lights? When Jesus was teaching his disciples on the Mount of Olives, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That was his second I am statement. That's John 8:12. It is interesting that they used to put candles on the Christmas tree to represent Christ being the light of the world. And as we can all well imagine, there were lots of fires back then. And the insurance companies got to the point where they wouldn't cover anymore for people having fires at Christmas time. And they came up with all these different ways to put those candles. But they were, the significance was it was white, white light. And white lights were a symbol of the purity of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, hallelujah, became sin for us. Electric lights and colored lights that came all in the late 19th century, early 20th century. Just in case any of you were wondering, did she study anything? Oh, praise Jesus, let me come back. What if there were no presents? Because there's no tree. Do we realize that God has given us the greatest present we will ever get for any occasion? Jesus Christ is God's present, his gift to humanity. And if we took him out of Christmas, there would be no baby, no God baby in a manger. No hope for the Magi looking for the place where he lay. Then Simeon would die without seeing God's salvation. There would be no ministry for John the Baptist. He would have had no message. There would have been no silent night, no holy night, no glad tidings for the angels to proclaim. But God, being omniscient, that means he knows everything. Being omniscient, he knew all about our need for a Savior. And so he implemented his plan for our salvation. And he left clues about him throughout the Old Testament. Listen to some of the prophecies about that baby in the manger. Genesis 3:15, the Messiah, Israel's deliverer, will be the seed, the offspring of a woman, and would crush the head of Satan. Genesis 12:3, he will come from the seed or the offspring of Abraham and would bless all the nations of the earth, Jews and Gentiles. And that's good news for us, because anybody Jewish in here? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, my Gentile brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Oh, we should run around the church on that one. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 18:15, it is said that he will be a prophet like Moses, to whom God said, we must listen. In Micah 5:2, we are told that he will be born in Bethlehem of Judah. Isaiah 7:14 said he would be born of a virgin. And in 2 Samuel 7, it says he will have a throne, a kingdom, and a dynasty or house, starting with King David, that will last forever. Psalm 110 says in verse 4, not only will he be a prophet and a king, but he's going to be a priest as well. And his priesthood is of the order of Melchizedek because it never ends. For those of you who know our students at the Redeemer Institute for Christian Education, praise Jesus, we do know that Jesus could not have been a priest because he was of the tribe of Judah. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. And those from the tribe of Judah were not priests. But you had to be of the tribe of Levi. Hallelujah. That's what rice will do for you, honey. Come on back. Praise the Lord. But so God had him to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when you read about Melchizedek in the Old Testament, you'll find that he had no beginning and no end. That's Jesus. He had no beginning and no end. Now, we knew Melchizedek was a person. He did have a beginning somewhere, but it's not recorded. Amen. So God is awesome in wisdom. And God used that to let us know Melchizedek's priesthood. I'm not trying to speak in tongues, y'all. Melchizedek's priesthood goes on forever. And so since Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, his priesthood goes on forever. So he's not just our Savior, but he's a prophet, he's a priest, and a king. Hallelujah. Then Isaiah says in chapter 9, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and he will possess an everlasting kingdom. In Zechariah 9, it says he will ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, righteous and having salvation, coming with gentleness. In Isaiah 53:5, it says he will be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. We're talking about that baby in the manger, y'all. Isaiah 53:9 goes on to say, he will die among the wicked ones, but will be buried with the rich. Remember Joseph of Arimathea, who loaned him? Jesus didn't need the tomb permanently. He loaned him his tomb. He was a rich man, Joseph. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 6, the word of God is going to come true. Every word, every jot and every tittle. Psalm 16:10 says he will be resurrected from the grave, for God will not allow his Holy One to suffer decay. In Daniel 7, it says he will come again from the clouds of heaven as the Son of Man. Without Christ, we would not have Christmas, nor will we have Christ Mass. We would only have a mess. And there would be no Savior, no salvation, no redemption. Humankind would still be in our sin. We could not sing Jesse Dixon's song, I Am Redeemed. There would be no Church of the Redeemer Baptist because there would be no Redeemer. But in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul declares, moreover, brethren, I declare to you I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Without Christ, there would also be no atonement, which is the forgiving or pardoning of sin in general and original sin in particular. Through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, enabling the reconciliation between God and his creation. If that reconciliation did not take place, we would still be at odds with God. And I'll give you the same demonstration we had in Sunday school, because some people say, what's all this reconciliation? If you just imagine all of the pews on both sides being pushed together, there would be no aisle. Everybody with me? There would be no aisle. So that's what it was like when Adam and God were in the garden. Tight. Nothing hindering them. Perfect fellowship. Then sin came in And so when sin came in, let's say that's when the aisle got formed. There became a separation between God and man. Okay? Everybody with me now with the reconciliation? So when Jesus died on that cross, what he did, if you could imagine, in the middle of this aisle, because of this, because of the cross, he brought us back together with God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about that baby in the manger. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So let's get this thing straight. Without Christ, there is no Christmas, no Christmas, no salvation, no redemption, no reconciliation. And what else did Jesus provide for us that we'd be missing out on? I'll share just a few things. Well, we became joint heirs with him because we were adopted into the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, which means that we now have access to God. We don't need a priest. We don't need a mediator. The book of Hebrews teaches us that we can come boldly into the throne room of God. We now have a right, the scripture says, to the tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to eat freely. Hallelujah. We've been forgiven for past, present, and future sins. And our names will never, never, ever be blotted out of the book of life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We now also have access to God's peace that passes all understanding. And so if we have access to it, why don't we tap into it and stop being anxious? Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We have hope, not just for a better tomorrow, but for a better today as well. And we have joy unspeakable because we are redeemed and our sins have been forgiven. And therefore, we are reconciled to God. Oh, hallelujah. That's good news. That's good. That's very good news. That's the best news ever. Oh, hallelujah. And that's just some of what Christ provided. That baby in the manger, some of what he provided. And if we want to make sure to keep Christ in Christmas, well, I got a few guidelines for you. Hallelujah. 10, as a matter of fact. Take. The first one is take. Take time to be alone and ponder your relationship with Christ. We're so busy worried about sales and what time the store gonna close tomorrow and stuff. We're not even thinking about spending time with him. But remember, he had us on his mind when he laid down in that manger. Oh, hallelujah. Read the story of Jesus' birth and note how people responded. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna. Praise God at Christmas and join other Christians in celebrations of music and praise. I encourage you to watch some of those programs that are on TV, put on by our brothers and sisters of another hue, because we all serve in the same God. And I think you're going to find how you'll be so blessed. Amen. Because it's not just going to be us Black Baptists in heaven. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Of every nation, tribe, and tongue. We better start learning how to worship together now. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Help. Help those in need at Christmas. Follow the example of Jesus, whose heart was filled with compassion for those who are suffering. Keep your to-do list short as possible. Limit your social obligations so there's time for reflection. Well, you know, my job, they're having a Christmas fellowship. No, they're having a Christmas party on the job. They ain't having nothing fellowship about it. This ministry's having a fellowship. That ministry's having a fellowship and all this stuff. But are we so caught up in the work and ministry of the Lord that we have forgotten the Lord of the work? Here's one I think that might be a little too late, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Use cash to buy gifts to avoid holiday debt. And invite your relatives to support a mission cause instead of giving you a gift. And we'll talk about the mission stuff later, because we have some sisters here at Redeemer who are getting ready to go to Haiti on a missions trip. And maybe we can support them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give honor to whom honor is due. Sister Reed, Mylon Reed's wife, and our own Dr. Okori. Praise the Lord. Tell others about the Savior. This is the easiest time in the world to be a witness at Christmas time. Tell others about the Savior and find opportunities to give a tract to somebody or a Bible. Somebody say, I don't have any tracts. Everybody should have got one this morning. Did y'all get a tract this morning? Okay, praise Jesus. So, and if you didn't get one, there's some in the back, and you'll have one to put in some gifts. There's some in the back. Put them in gifts. Put them in. And get somebody a Bible for Christmas. No, they don't want it. But guess what? Get their name printed on it. We like stuff with our name on it. You know, when you give them that box and they'll say, I don't believe she gave me some Bible. Oh, thank you. You know, and you say, open it up. Open it up. I know it's a Bible. All Bibles look this. I know what a Bible looked like. And you say, open it up. And then when they open it up and see their name, they're going to say, oh, thank you. Oh, people get excited. And then they have that word ready because God is going to be drawing them in. Amen. Remember, praise Jesus, we did remember. Oh, no, we didn't do remember. Remember Christ's church around the world. Some of these churches are enduring great hardship. We're free to worship here right now in America, but it's not true all over the world. Live like Christ in this season. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Be sensitive to the people with whom you work and play, and dare I say, with whom you live. And lastly, be joyful at Christmas. You're celebrating the greatest event in the history of the world, the arrival of God in human form. Oh, hallelujah. We get excited about all kinds of things. We get excited about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl 2 years in a row and all that stuff we get excited about. But do we get excited about when we hear about our Savior? Help us, Lord. Help us. You know the same way you act when they won that Super Bowl? Bring some of that up in here and redeem it. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. There's a song that says, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. And how do we do that? The song goes on further to say, lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. So the question today is not what if we Christians took Christ out of Christmas, but what if we Christians keep him in? Hear the word of the Lord. The real Christmas story, Luke 2, 1 to 14. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Isaiah 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, in order to establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Then John in Revelation 1 says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then in chapter 19, he says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. For his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's that baby in the manger. What if we Christians took Christ out of Christmas? The most that could happen, which would be a tragedy, is that those who are still unsaved would be confused by what we say we believe and what we actually do. As a result, their very souls could be hindered. But thanks and praise be to our Almighty God, who does not depend on the cooperation of man. His plan for redemption is his alone. And whether we keep Christ in Christmas or not, redemption is still the order of the day. Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Born of a woman. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Yeah. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? Yeah. This child you delivered will soon deliver you. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. As another song says, Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek, and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, Glory to the newborn King. Some may get caught up in the commercialism of Christmas, but Christ can never be taken out. All around the world, in spite of the wars and the evil of man being unleashed on man in so many violent ways, Jesus Christ is still the star of Christmas, and he always will be. There's a song in the African American hymnal, and it says, "Come, let us sing. Let us rejoice. Come, let us sing. Let us rejoice. Messiah's come, and he brought life, and he brought laughter into my soul. It would have been enough if he brought life. It would have been enough if he brought peace. It would have been enough if he brought joy. But he brought laughter into my soul." And they go on and they sing, ha, 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 which I'm not going to do. And some of you might say, well, what's there to laugh about? Well, God made a liar out of the devil where each one of us is concerned. He used to tell us how we'd never be nothing and that we would surely bust hell wide open. He had the nerve to tell us that God didn't love us because of some of the things that had happened to us and because of some of the things we had done. He even told us that God was not going to heal or deliver or see us through just because we have been waiting for so long. But we know he's a liar, right? And he's the father of lies, matter of fact. But our God is not a liar. And what he said he's going to do, he's going to do it in his time. Now today, my brothers and sisters, we can sing Jesse Dixon's song. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Not just my Sunday life, but my Monday life when I'm at the gym, when I'm in the supermarket, when I'm waiting for the bus, when I'm down in the subway. He's changed my whole life. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I am redeemed. So if anybody asks you just who I am, you tell them I am redeemed. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody else in here redeemed today? Anybody else in here redeemed? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about that baby. That baby in the manger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, since I only anticipated the possibility of two cultures being here today, I say to you, te deseo una feliz Navidad. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Let us all stand and thank God today. Thank you, God, for your indescribable, unspeakable, extraordinary, awesome gift. And it is the gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here today and have you received God's present for you? If not, it's still available. This is the season where God reminds humanity that he loved us so much that he sent his son, wrapped in human flesh, so that he could bring us back into fellowship with God. That means the baby Jesus was born to die for us. And I was listening to Father Cedric. Lord knows he's a blessing. He's a priest. He's a powerful blessing. And he was saying years ago they put a cross in their chapel. They didn't hang it up. It was really big. And so he went in and he's looking at this cross. And he went and looked at the whole thing. He said, and then he was looking at the back of it. He said he don't know why he looked at the back of the cross. He said, but just as he looked at the back of the cross, God spoke to him. And God said the front of the cross was for Jesus. He said, the back of the cross is for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's why we got to know that when Christ died, we died. We are dead indeed to sin. Oh, hallelujah. We now have power to say no. We have power to act right. We have power to forgive. We have power to treat people the way Christ would treat them in spite of how they're treating us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Every year when we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating the breaking in of the divine into human history. And God wants to remind all of humanity of the depth of his love for us. A love that would bend all the way from glory to earth. Allow his son to be born in a stinky stable. Placed in a feeding trough for animals. And wrapped up in pieces of cloth. That's what it means when it says swaddling cloth. They were just strips of cloth. Strips of cloth. Dirty strips of cloth. Yes. Thank you. So that we could be redeemed. And still today, in 2018, God stretches forth his arm of salvation, inviting men and women, boys and girls, come and don't just behold him, but receive him as your Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Won't you come today? Today is your day if you're not saved. Today is the day that you can come and receive God's presence for you. He's been holding it, waiting for you all this time. For you just to say, yes, Lord, I do want the life that you have for me. Because it's not just about